Welcome to Public Radio KDNK. This is the Living Permaculture Show. I'm Stephanie Sison. In the studio today, we have Roaring Fork local and Living Permaculture regular, Michael Thompson. We are talking about a new conversation series that's being held at the Basalt Library on local economies. Welcome to the show, Michael. We're glad to have you in today.
Thanks, Stephanie.
I know one of these meetings has already transpired, mm-hmm. And I missed that first one, regrettably, but I would love for you to give first an overall for our listeners who haven't heard about this series that's happening. What is this series on local economies? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. First, there was a radio interview I did with Will Evans on his Shifting Gears program here on KDNK a few months ago in anticipation of this, and Will has been helping me to put this together. The idea for the series is that we see a lot of difficulties at the global level and at the national level in terms of our economy. And it's affected by all kinds of different things, politics, monopolies, companies that are growing at such a rapid rate that they're replacing all of our local economy. A lot of communities are reacting to this because when your local economy is the global economy and there is no other economy, you rise and fall with the global economy. And as we're seeing, there's a lot of cracks and a lot of fissures and a lot of ups and downs in the global economy. So a lot of communities are creating their own local economy in a number of different ways. And these local economies can function as not only a shock absorber when the global economy falters, but as a really great way to build relationships in the community, for people to get back into producing their own necessities. And that is going to be ramping up more and more as we go into the future, because technology is leading us in that direction. Renewable energy is becoming more local. Even manufacturing is going to become more local with the advent of 3D printing, which has gotten a pretty good foothold by this time, and it's going to become cheaper and cheaper and better and better as we go. So local economies is something to think about and to act on. There are a lot of communities who are doing their own local currency, communities doing local food sovereignty, saying, you know, we don't need the USDA to come in and tell us how to create good, healthy, safe food. We can do that ourselves, and we don't need, you know, $1 million sterilized plants with special inspection regimens. We can do that ourselves at a local level. And a number of communities, especially in Maine, have really taken hold of this. And that's one of the main things we covered in the first session. So,
and when was the first session?
That was on Tuesday, March the, Tuesday, March 25th. It was a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Tomorrow. And one of the things we covered, we pulled up a video, a new video on YouTube, and we just showed a little piece of it. And it was, the video was explaining how social movements over time have gotten hold at the local level and then moved to the state level, and then finally became national law. And we're seeing that happen today with marijuana, for example, with both medical and recreational marijuana. It hasn't gone at the state or at the federal level yet, but so many states have adopted either or both of those that it's becoming inevitable. Same thing happened with interracial marriage many years ago, and then with civil rights many years ago. With women's suffrage was probably the oldest social movement that took
that
hold
moved from
state
the ground
line.
Up.
Yeah, took hold state by state, and then reached a critical mass where so many states had adopted it that it moved into the federal realm. So that's the same thing that's going to happen here. We're, you know, to create our own local economy. The federal government doesn't mind or bother communities that create their own local currency, because the local currency is still tied to the dollar, and your use of the local currency is still taxable with dollars at the federal level. So they have, but there's a lot you can do within those constraints. And there's a lot you can do to replace your activities on the global marketplace by using sharing economy, gift economy, taking your necessities just out of the economy, out of the money economy. And there's a lot of people in this valley doing that, myself included, yourself included, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, it can be very vibrant, and it can be, it can replace, you know, virtually a whole sector of your purchasing. I don't buy meat because I don't eat meat, but because I get it through the gift economy, and it's really good meat.
Well, and you're a really good baker and beer brewer, so I'm sure that your beverages trade at a very high value.
A lot of people like beer. Yes.
You can probably trade for a lot of your necessities. Yes, that way. We all like a good beverage.
I do trade a lot of beer. I need to find out how I can make more of it. I'm not at my legal limit yet.
What is the legal limit?
Legal limit for home brewing beer is 200 gallons a year.
Okay.
If there's two adults living in a household. And that's the top limit. But I've barely cracked 100 gallons a year. So I'm anxious to ramp up one of these years with some new equipment and get up to 200 gallons. Because then, you know, I have a lot more beer to give away.
And trade for lovely
right.
things.
Right.
And just while we're on that, before we came on the air, you were telling me about part of this series, you're doing a little kind of barter gift economy experiment, and then also with the Basalt Library itself has a program that mm-hmm. people can sign up for that's in this same thread. Can you give us a brief about those two things?
Sure. So Signe Strom is our community advocate at the Basalt Library, and she was the one who approached me and asked from one of the other gardeners in Basalt had suggested she call me about local economies, which a number of people know I'm pretty passionate about that. So Signe is also the person who started the Facebook group Buy Nothing Roaring Fork. And that's a group, if you go visit there, you'll see a lot of people putting things up on offer for free and other people putting up requests for things they need. And that gets to be pretty vibrant in terms of a lot of activity and absolutely no dollars changing hands. Stephanie, you started the Basalt Seed Library some years ago. And we, you know, there's only a handful of gardeners in Basalt that were really passionate about it. And so it kind of faltered a little. We mm-hmm. were ending up meeting every winter, but we were just trading seeds among ourselves. For the most part, and then if we did put any in the library, they would disappear right away, and then
for
they
sure.
weren't there. So Signe gathered us all together and said, we need to build you into a club. And so you were there. We had our first session a month and a half ago, I guess, and mm-hmm. packaged up all this seed that people brought and all from local vegetables. And so that's all in the library now, and there's an ample supply for people to get. We're going to run some classes, try to get more people to be collecting seed and
there's
trading.
The end of April, I believe it's maybe the 21st, mm-hmm. I'll be teaching a class at the library mm-hmm. and also at the Basalt Food Park, a little bit on kind of intro to seed saving and seed starting and just nice spring basic gardening class. So I recommend for this program, for that workshop, for a host of other things, if you are in the Valley and you are not signed up for the Basalt Library newsletter, you should get on that email mm-hmm. right away, because they, whether it's amazing musical performances or movie screenings or these progressive conversation programs or great workshops, just the Basalt Library is doing a wonderful job of offering beautiful beautiful things to our community. Mm-hmm. So get on that email list and you can find out all about it as soon as it happens for them.
Right.
And if you haven't met Signa and been to the Basalt Library lately, she's a great asset for this community and is really putting a lot of time and love and effort into offering amazing things for us.
Right.
So glad to have her.
We can really build a lot of relationships in the community through programs like the ones she's putting together there. People really get engaged, and that's what it boils down to. If we want to have local economies, we need people to engage locally in thousands of different ways. Our second session of this community conversation is going to occur next Monday on April 1st. And we're going to have some...
What great, time is that going to be?
5 to 7 in
at the Basalt Library.
At the Basalt Library. And we're going to have 3 presenters. We're going to have Megan Lovelace, who has done a lot of work in our Colorado legislature with getting food regulations changed. And we have a new regulation that allows for on-farm poultry processing. And the Two Forks Club, our local slow money investment club, recently gave a loan, a zero interest loan, to the Diamond G Group, a couple of guys working at the Living Farm in Paonia, who are going to be producing a lot of chickens and processing them and selling them over here. So we're going to get a lot of locally raised chickens this year, and turkeys.
Oh,
so
yum.
That's going to be great. But Megan is going to present a bunch of different ideas, including John Eichard's work on local economies and agriculture in local economies. Then Woody Tash is going to talk about the slow money movement and his book, Slow Money. He'll be calling in remotely, so he'll be on Skype on the live stream. So we're going to work out the audio so that everyone can hear. We did pretty well with it last time, but some improvements could be better. And Woody helped start our Two Forks Club, which, gosh, to date, I think we're getting close to $500,000 that we've loaned out, zero interest loans, over the last 3 or 4 years.
That's great. Woody has been on our show a couple times, mm-hmm. Maybe just a few months ago when he was here. So folks mm-hmm. can look in the archive. If you are not familiar with Woody Tash or Slow Money, you should really look into that. It's a very progressive movement. And he's in this valley all the time doing great things for us. So he'll be streaming in through Skype.
Yeah, he'll be in through Skype. And so we should be able to hear him, and he'll be able to hear questions from the participants in the room. And we'll have another line associated with the live stream so that people watching from Paonia or Boulder or wherever can ask questions. So we're working out all those little details so we can make it as sort of transparent of distance as possible. Woody's work has really been phenomenal, and the Two Forks Club, our local club, which was really started by Susan Brady, and with the help of Woody and a few other people, myself included, the club is now directed by Ed and Vardy, and we're doing a really good job of raising money. It's a nonprofit club. It was the first nonprofit club in the network. And Woody started another nonprofit club based on our model in Boulder called Soil. It's SOIL, let's see, sustainable, I forget what it all stands for, but it's basically sustainable food systems. And offering a nonprofit really gives people an advantage because they invest their money and they get a tax deduction for it. And in most of these slow money investment clubs, even though they're charging 1.5% interest, the people that are putting the money in are not taking it out.
Right. The interest just goes back into the club.
Yeah. They just keep rolling it back out for more and more loans. And so if it's a nonprofit club, investors are doing the same thing. They're not taking their money back out because it's doing so much good out there. But they might as well get a tax deduction for that. And one of the main things about local economies is that the global economy has done a really great job at driving everything to the lowest possible cost.
Mm-hmm.
in local economies, it's a very steep curve to try to get over. An example would be our local farmers here growing lettuce, you know, let's say a head of romaine lettuce, organic, and competing with Earthbound Farms organic lettuce, which is produced in a monoculture manner with automation and migrant labor. And they can make money selling it at $2 a head at Whole Foods. Whole Foods can make money, and the farmers can make money, and the truckers can make money at that price. But our local farmers, you know, their costs are much higher. And so we need to subsidize our local economy in some ways. Zero interest loans is one way to do that. The gift economy is another way to do that. And, you know, there are more ways we're going to look into in terms of local currency. So the third person at our second session on April 1st will be Michael Kinsley. And he's been with Rocky Mountain Institute for years and years, recently retired, and has his own business called Michael Kinsley Diplomacy. And Michael was the main force at Rocky Mountain Institute creating the economic renewal programs for local communities. And one of the first ones they did was Carbondale back in the 80s. That part of that process really got the Arts Council going here. And that's been a major force in Carbondale, very positive force for decades. And Michael's gone out and done these kind of things for communities all over the country. And he'll be explaining some of those stories on next Monday. And then our final session will be on Thursday, April 18th at the library, same time. And in that session, we're going to cover the local currency, what other communities have done, and how it's affected them. We're going to cover the sharing economy in more detail, and the gift economy in more detail. And we're going to have Casey Pascura, who's going to give us a presentation on what something he mentioned in the movie How We Grow. He said, true freedom lies in the health of the soil beneath our feet. And of course, we all know, you know, that's Casey's mantra. The results are obvious when you look at his food or taste it. And Casey's going to give us a presentation on hopefully inspiring everyone in the room and online, get out in your garden and get going, you know, and plant some incredible food. He's one of our most amazing growers. And even Jerome says he buys his tomato plants from Casey because they're the best.
Oh, for sure. I was chatting with him maybe just a few weeks ago. We ran into each other at Penny Hot Springs one evening. And I just love his tomato breeding for this cold hardiness and how he'll start these hundreds and hundreds of tomato seedlings and kind of just let them sort it out, and it'll get 18 degrees in his hoop house, and you know, most of the flat will die, but there'll be 10 out of the 100 that lived, and those are the ones that have the traits for cold hardiness. And so then he'll grow those out, breed those out, and continue this process. We all love tomatoes, and it's probably one of the hardest crops for home gardeners to grow in this climate. So really great work, and just this ruthless love of breeding that he has, plus his love of the soil. He's really inspiring and intoxicating to listen to on that level.
Really good
stuff. He'll be, I'm sure, at Dandelion Days again this year. If you want to access some amazing tomato plants and lots of other vegetable starts as well, really weird varieties, fun varieties that have been bred for our climate specifically. So get out there and see him for that for sure. Okay, Michael, we have about 6 minutes left on the show. So I wanted to, one real quick, what is the name of the series? What are those next two dates? And then can people look this up on the library website in case they forget or they want to get more detail?
Sure. So the next session is on Monday, April 1st. That's a week from today, from 5 to 7 o'clock in the community room at the Basalt Library. We're accommodating about 15 minutes of people gathering there before we actually kick in, but we are limited by time, so we want to really get as much in as possible. That's the session where we're going to have Woody Tash online, and Megan Lovelace will be here, and Michael Kinsley will be here. And then our last session is on Thursday, April 18th, from 5 to 7, same room. And that's where we're going to explore all these ideas of local currency. And that's the night we're going to finish our local currency game, where everyone will bring in all the currency that they've traded with other people and actually get, you know, trade them in for the goods. So it's kind of like an IOU gift economy series we're doing. And I'll be bringing my homebrewed beer and some bread to trade those on that session. And so we're real excited about it. We've got a lot of participation online, and I think we had 25 people last time, and from conversations I've had with others since, I'm thinking it's probably going to be in the 30s this time. And we had three groups online, two in Paonia and one in Boulder last time, and we'll probably have more this time. So it'll be exciting. And
if someone wants to listen from home, how do they
do
that?
Thank you. So on the library website, on their calendar, we'll post one or two days before each session, we post a YouTube link to the live stream. And then you can sign on to the live stream. We'll turn it on just a few minutes before 5 and let it run. And then we use that, you know, to see if we can get everyone's voice and video up whenever they're talking. And it's very participant involved. So everybody that's there, it's not a lecture. We're presenting some material, and we're asking people's opinions, comments, backup questions, or follow-up questions on those things, because we want to get as many ideas from the community as possible.
Absolutely.
This is just the start of a big, big, long effort.
Well, great, Michael. We really appreciate you helping to spearhead this conversation, and I'm excited to be available and in town to come to the next one on April 1st. Before we get out of here for today, can you give us a little bit of a briefing on Fat City Farmers? I know that we've talked about it a few times before in the past, but what are you guys up to these days?
Well, thanks for asking me that question, Stephanie. So we're very small. Fat City Farmers is just a very small board. We started back in 2009, and the idea and the mission for Fat City Farmers is build greenhouses and gardens at the schools on site, so students can get seed-to-seed education during the school year. And we love that the schools will take kids to the different farms so they can see animals and they can see eggs and, you know, all kinds of crops being produced. But they rarely get more than a few hours each semester. So we need at the schools hands-on. Right now we have greenhouses and gardens at Yampa, Roaring Fork High School, Basalt Middle School, and we're doing teaching in the classes in Silt and Rifle. Cody Lee is doing a lot of that work with us. You've done some of those classes. And those kids, you know, their eyes get turned on, you know, their lights go on when they see a plant sprouting from a seed. So giving them all the information they need to further their education in that is what we're after. We're right now I've just finished designing a greenhouse with climate batteries in raised beds for Glenwood Elementary School. And the Riverview School is next. There's a group of parents who are pushing to have the greenhouse and garden built there. So we'll have education programs in all of those schools. Probably Glenwood Springs Elementary School definitely by this fall, and Riverview maybe by the spring semester or the following year.
And if there is someone listening, parents or students or otherwise, that their school doesn't have a greenhouse or a garden, would Fat City Farmers be someone to reach out to if they have a group of people who want to help push that agenda through?
Absolutely. Fatcityfarmers.org is where you can find all of the stuff we put up online, and you can contact me through them, through that website, and I'll respond. We have a number of institutions and donors and individuals who are excited about getting that stuff to happen. The most difficult part of it is actually getting parents and teachers to say, we're going to do this and we're going to run it and we're going to, it's going to be ours and we're going to maintain it. And that's the hard part. So Glenwood Springs Elementary School has done a great job of getting their teachers and parents together. And that's what tells me they're going to have a very successful program. All we need to do is just build them an indoor climate to grow things in, and they'll take it from there.
Perfect. Well, Michael, we are out of time. As always, we're running a little bit late, but thank you for joining us today on the Living Permaculture Show. Please look into the Basalt Library Community Conversation Series on local economies and reach out to Fat City Farmers if you want a greenhouse at your school or a garden. We will see you next month. Hopefully Jerome will be back with us, and we hope all of you have a great Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.